Steven, do you know what I like best about sitting down every week to do the show?
Tell me, Linda.
Well, in addition to knowing I'll get to see you and Glenn and our producers, I get to see so many fantastic people who come and do the show with us. People inside NPR, your Audie Cornish, your Sam Sanders, your Barry Hardiman, your Marissa LaRusso, but also lots of people outside NPR, Brittany Luce and Eric Eddings from The Nod, Tobin Lowe and Kathy Tu from Nancy, Aisha Harris from The New York Times. And we added a bunch of new people this year.
We did.
And it takes time to reach out to those people, find places for them to record if they're not here in D.C. It takes time to keep track of what they're interested in, what they might want to talk about. And that's one of the many things that we ask our producers to do for us. And it's one of the many things that you can support by going to donate.npr.org/happy and supporting your local station.
That also pays for our producers to cut the show and post the show and keep our increasingly complicated calendar up to date. It's a ton of logistics. And donating pays for all of our production, which is a good amount of work, even when we're just goofing around.
Yeah, maybe especially when we're just goofing around. So head over to donate.npr.org/happy and help us keep inviting new voices to share this show with us, and so we can share them with you. Apple TV Plus launched a few weeks ago, and its highest profile series was unquestionably The Morning Show. Apple spent a massive amount of money on it and landed a cast that includes Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, and Steve Carell. It's the story of a morning news show that winds up in turmoil after the male anchor is fired following allegations of sexual misconduct.
Aniston plays the anchor who's left behind to pick up the pieces with the new partner, and Witherspoon is a local reporter who unexpectedly gets hired after she goes on a rant while she's working and the video goes viral. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. We're talking about The Morning Show today on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away.
Support for Pop Culture Happy Hour and the following message come from Green from Amex. Always on the lookout for the latest trends? From your local bubble tea joint to off-the-beaten-path brewery tours, Green from Amex can help you discover more. With 3x points on restaurants and travel, including transit like taxis, ride shares, ferry rides, and subway swipes, it's built around your lifestyle so you can keep doing you with an extra boost of confidence. Learn more at americanexpress.com/greenfromamex. Terms apply.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Happy Hour. You just met NPR Music's Stephen Thompson. Also with us is Glenn Weldon of the NPR Arts Desk. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Linda.
And in our fourth chair today, we're delighted to have Christina Tucker of the Unfriendly Black Hotties podcast. Welcome back, Christina.
Hello. This is my Olympics. I am very thrilled to be here.
Well, we had heard you talking about this. I had heard you talking about it on Twitter, so I knew that we had to have you. Glenn, I'm going to go to you first because I think of you as my primary Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon fan. I don't really.
Yeah.
What'd you think of this?
You know what? It's fine. It goes down real easy without meeting any kind of resistance, which means there's not a lot to chew over in it, I don't think. It doesn't really take any risks. There's no element of chaos, despite how often, you know, Crudup invokes chaos. But if you need something to fold laundry to check Twitter by, boom, this does it. You get the point of a given scene, and then you can look away because the scene will go on for a while after they give you the point. It feels like it wanted to be broadcast news. But broadcast news was made at a time when network news was much more central to kind of shaping our collective perception of reality than it is today. And this show keeps talking about America as if the monoculture still exists. They don't talk about their audience. They say, you know, America loves you, or, you know, we have a responsibility to America. So that's, it feels like a throwback. And I think, like Late Night, the Mindy Kaling film, this show thinks that the thing it's about, in this case morning television, is a lot more important than, say, I think it is. And so we get this assertion that the show is bad and needs to improve, and we kind of have to take their word for it because I don't really have a sense of whether or not it is supposed to be bad or what, and that it can be improvable. You know, we'll talk about the performances and the Me Too stuff, but let's check with some other folks first.
Well, and we should say, you mentioned Billy Crudup. Billy Crudup is playing a kind of a weaselly, is he weaselly or is he just straightforwardly Craven?
More,
it's
I think
hard
it's more
to say.
More reptilian.
He's playing a network.
Reptilian's good.
He's playing a network executive, Mark Duplass. Is also in this as kind of a, you know, where he's one of the high up producers on the show and has been kind of an ally of the Jennifer Aniston character. Christina, what did you think of this sprawling item?
You guys, this show isn't good.
Yeah.
Like, I know that logically, and yet it has become a parasite that has burrowed so far into my brain. It hits some sort of like reptilian pleasure center that I like am impossible to resist to me. The dialogue is weird and bad. Mm-hmm. Reese's wig is atrocious.
That is true.
And yet, I am always thrilled to turn this TV show on every Friday and watch whatever they feel like they're trying to say about America or TV or Jennifer Aniston. I don't know what they're doing, but I want to watch it always.
I think what they did is they dropped the first three episodes, mm-hmm. and then they've been dropping once a week. So you guys have seen, what, six?
I've seen six. Yeah.
Okay. I've seen all 10.
Oh,
jealous.
Because I, well, and this goes, but I'm saying this because it kind of dovetails with what Christina was saying. I watched the first three. I liked it okay. They gave us the other seven as screeners, and I tore through mm-hmm. it. After a while, mm-hmm. I really got tearing through it. Stephen, how are you doing with this show?
Yeah, my thoughts on the show are kind of a synthesis of everything the three of you have said. I think this show starts out on very uneven footing. I think the first couple episodes are pretty weak and shaky. It's trying to introduce so many characters and so many plot elements. It's interesting, Glenn, that you said nothing to chew on. I feel like it almost is giving you so much to chew on that you can lose track because it's trying to be so many shows to so many people. There's a reveal at the end of the second episode where they've spent almost 2 hours just moving chess pieces around on a big unwieldy board. And at the end of the second episode, those pieces have finally kind of locked into place to reveal sort of what this show is going to be. And from there, I just found it really fun. And I had the same reaction to episodes 3 through 6, Linda, that you clearly did to episodes, what, 4 through 10?
Uh-huh.
Where they're starting to figure out what they are and who they are, and you start to get scenes. There's a scene between Billy Crudup, who is so good in this and having so much fun in this, and Jennifer Aniston, where they're at a party and they're singing a song to each other. And it mm-hmm. is this weird, creepy feast of passive aggressiveness uh-huh. that is such an indication of where this show can go, the harder it leans into some of the workplace intrigue that I think it's got a pretty good handle on.
Yeah. I am here to be the person who argues that this show is actually more interesting than I think it's gotten credit for, and more actually good in some ways. The part of this that doesn't work for me at all, and I have said this since I started watching it, is the Steve Carell character,
right.
who's
yep.
the guy who was the anchor, who has been, you know, who has exited the show under this cloud of allegations. I don't need that character.
No.
I don't care how he feels. Every time they try to sort of show him stewing in his house about
right.
how frustrating it is to lose his gig, I become uninterested in what's happening. And I think that's one of the places where it shows that this show was sold on a very different mm-hmm. premise, mm-hmm. which was just kind of a soapy show about morning shows.
Right.
And then after Matt Lauer stuff came out, my understanding is after the Matt Lauer stuff came out
on the Today Show.
On the Today Show regarding allegations against him, they kind of retooled the entire thing. And so I think it shows that they had kind of thought of it in one way. And I think because it's been taken apart and put back together a couple times, I think the seams show. Where mm-hmm. I like it is where it becomes a show that is about what mess you leave behind
right.
when mm-hmm. you make a mess out of your workplace. And I freely admit that because I work in media at a workplace that has had people leave mm-hmm. it, mm-hmm. under, you know, circumstances of this kind of allegation and the kind of the mess it makes,
right.
I think I'm more interested in that than some people might be. I
yeah.
like the attention to sort of everybody else now has to run around and do a bunch of damage control
yes.
mm-hmm.
for something that they didn't bring on themselves in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of other people have to think about, well, maybe I shouldn't have let this go on for so long. The Jennifer Aniston character, the Mark Duplass character. Go ahead, Stephen.
First of all, the Steve Carell character. I really, from the first episode on, I'm like, where are they going to go with this guy? Because they're going to have to leave him in this show in some way because they've cast Steve Carell. And so they keep having to shoehorn him in ever more unwieldy and improbable ways. There is a scene in episode 4 or 5 where he like comes back to his former workplace and is just allowed to just come in and confront the staff. Yeah. Like security would have tackled him outside the front door. But what's interesting, like you said, and what I really like about this show, it's willing to examine the systems that prop up this kind of behavior. And it's interested in picking apart as a central plot line of the show the layers of corporate responsibility and the repercussions and some of the opportunities that can create for bad actors to come in behind the people who've left.
See, I think the show gets a handle on the Steve Carell character as it goes. I agree with you at the beginning. He is a cartoon villain barking and stewing in his house. But the thing that I think is most interesting about the show, I'm going to disagree with you guys, is the Steve Carell character, because they seem to be wanting to humanize this creep. And that is, whether you agree with it or not, that is a big swing. The fact that we're exploring that nuance is not a direction I thought the show would go in.
Yeah, see, I don't care about that. I don't care about that.
I think what the problem is with the Steve Carell character, especially in those early episodes, which again, I've watched a regular amount of times, no need to comment on that, is that they have clearly no idea how bad they want him to be until about the 3rd or 4th episode. There's a lot of like, oh, well, maybe it was just, you know, consensual affairs with people that he worked with, and maybe that's actually not that bad. And then they seem to settle into a place where they're a little more comfortable explicitly pointing out how bad he was.
Yeah. And one of the problems is that the full shape of that doesn't come into focus until a little bit later. Go ahead.
Exactly. Well, because it's just because that those first few episodes are like, this man being a serial harasser of women is like the worst thing to happen to the Jennifer Aniston character, which, I mean, fine. It's probably not the worst thing in the world for her. But it's very clear that they're just like, I'm not really sure how far we want to go with this. And I don't think it's until about the 3rd or 4th episode that they kind of get a real feeling of what they want to do with him.
Well, and I think also one of the things that I like about it, and one of the other threads that I think is interesting, doesn't necessarily even have anything to do directly with the Steve Carell character and that story of Mitch having to leave and all that. One of the things I think is interesting is when you see how she feels forced to defend her job and push forward in this way. And I thought, you know, when the stuff about the show was first coming out, I thought, are they doing like some weird, like, oh, here comes the young, fresh-faced newcomer, when Reese Witherspoon is really only a few years younger than Jennifer Aniston. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's odd. To its credit, that is not what this show is.
Right.
The Reese Witherspoon character is just different. There's a suggestion, weirdly, at times that she's conservative, although there's nothing.
No idea
there's
what to do with that.
There's nothing to suggest that that's the case, but they sometimes say it. It's like a don't show.
It's a Sorkinian.
Exactly. But they're not really presenting her as like, you know, because she's young and prettier or something like that. That's not the conflict that this is. It's more the network has kind of grown tired of the Jennifer Aniston character. She has too much power, I think. They were, before Mitch had to leave, thinking of basically just shuffling her out because she's a pain and it's a pain to negotiate with her, and they wanted a fresh person. Now, is it plausible that that particular Reese Witherspoon rant would go viral?
No.
It is not. I was really surprised by their inability to write a decent YouTube rant, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't have, despite all her screen time, I don't have a really strong bead on the Jennifer Aniston character, like who she is, what she's about, and I think that might be just the size of Jennifer Aniston.
See, that character I do.
And that
might be by design, but I do also think it's a little bit of a product. This, I don't know how well I know this particular character, might be a product of just how many people they are trying to shoehorn into this show at all times.
There's so many people.
There is a little bit of a too big to fail feel to this show, where they have put so many kind of A-list people in it. They have guest performances, you know, kind of guest starring cameos, like Mindy Kaling pops up, Martin Short pops up.
Yeah. Well, and there's and early on you see Gugu Mbatha-Raw, and it's like, why would you bother? And eventually... it will become clear why they cast her.
Right.
But at first it's not.
It often feels like there are five or six too many characters at all times, and they're developing backstories for all of these people. And so for as long as some of these episodes are, they run almost a full hour, in one case over a full hour, there's still just a lot to keep track of.
Yeah, I do have a strong sense of the Reese Witherspoon character because she is...
Linda.
I think she is straining to have an edge that just I don't think the actress is up to. I mean, when you put the line, "I'm not perky," into the mouth of a character played by Reese Witherspoon, that's a heavy lift. That's a really heavy lift. And I don't buy it all the time. The one character I really want to see a lot more of is Mia, the producer, played by Karen Pittman. That's just a great character. I always am fascinated by what's going on in her head. So, yeah, I could get a little less Reese, a little bit more Mia.
Yeah, I think every once in a while, it just would really resonate on a frequency of anger that makes sense to me. There are moments where Alex, the Jennifer Aniston character, is sort of, she's so mad and she's not sure who she's mad at. You know, she has these kind of bubblings up of anger, which I often find really interesting and effective. There's one involving her daughter that I think is
amazing.
It is. And it's really a turn for that character. And I wanted kind of more of that. But I don't know. I feel like I really enjoyed it by the end.
That was kind of my takeaway from it, is we talk sometimes about really, really good shows, right?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's prestige TV, and we watch the first four or five or six episodes of some great show, and I come in here and I talk like, man, I loved this. I can't wait to see more of it, and then I'll never watch it again.
Yeah.
This show I'm probably going to keep watching, even though it is nowhere near as good as those shows.
And, you know, its original order was already for two seasons, so it'll also be back for more.
So that's where that $300 million is going. Good
It does look incredibly expensive.
Yeah,
Everything about it, I'm just like, wow, this costs so much money,
really,
huh?
Well, I think it's safe to say that Stephen and I and Christina have all enjoyed this show on different levels. Glenn, maybe not so much.
Yeah, it's okay.
But that brings us to the end of our show. You can follow Christina at C_GraceT. Thanks to all of you guys for being here.
Thank you.
Especially you, Christina.
Oh, truly, it was my pleasure.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. As a reminder, please remember to donate to your local station at donate.npr.org/happy. And we will see you all back here on Friday for our discussion about The Irishman.
NPR's Life Kit wants to help you get through that huge stack of unread books on your nightstand. You know, the one that's so tall it might fall over. We're helping you read more this year, on your commute, or even in the mornings. New episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen and subscribe to Life Kit.